Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. So, this week, we are building up, and for those watching, this release is Friday, so this weekend, right now, you can get tickets to see Mark Norman at the Houston Improv. It's improvtx.com/Houston. Mark Norman, if you have not heard of him, you are completely missing out. Mark Norman is from Louisiana. Couldn't be a more interesting guy. He is arguably, Jerry Seinfeld has openly said that he is his favorite comedian is Mark Norman. Been on Rogan a few times. Mark Norman couldn't be a nicer guy. Check out his show this weekend. I am going to be there this weekend, tomorrow, Saturday, for the early show at 7:30. Check out your tickets at improvtx.com/Houston and check it out. And next week, no promises. I'm going to try. But Joe Rogan will be in town. He will not do my show. There's no way he's doing my show, but I'm going to try. I'm going to ask. So we'll see how it goes. What I did this week is Houston is going through this really tumultuous time and kind of acclimating to coronavirus and protests and in the heart of downtown Houston, Edo. Is the Secret Group. The Secret Group, we've talked about this many times. There's two comedy clubs in Houston that are paving the way for comedy in Houston, and that is, of course, the Houston Improv and the Secret Group. And I sit down today with Stephen Brandow and Zahed Devji. We talk about everything that's happening, the acclimation to the current changes, and how we're getting back to the normal times. And doing so while tasting through a few unique things. I figured if I'm going to be sitting down with a couple of comedians, we might as well be tasting a few things that are interesting. So this week, we sit down with a bottle of 1940s chamomile elixir from World War II and 1930s cherry brandy. Both of these, if you're not used to drinking straight, are going to affect a reaction or instigate a reaction within someone, especially a comedian. So Zahed and Stephen, I thought it'd be great to sit them down. Stephen's actually a member of the Houston Bourbon Society, and that bar has one of the best whiskey selections, better than anybody. When it comes to comedy clubs, what they're doing in terms of the whiskey selection is fantastic. So I thought it'd be fun to sit down and just kind of shoot the shit. Whiskey Neat, we have one sponsor besides our great friends over at Balcony's. And just so you guys know, tomorrow is our last release of our Rumble Cask Reserve series with Balcony's at Specs. There's four area locations. Check out the Facebook page. But it is a tequila barrel, fully matured for more than 6 years in an ex-tequila barrel. It is the oldest thing that has ever been released from Balcony's, the oldest barrel to ever be released. And it is a cask strength tequila aged matured Rumble Cask Reserve made from Mission Figs, Turbinado Sugar, and honey, Texas Wildflower honey. Whiskey Neat is also supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. Yes, they are back. Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exact same standards as Scotch. Amroot Fusion also received a double gold blind and scored a jaw-dropping 96 points by the judges at the Proof Awards. Amroot Single Malt Whiskey is widely available across America and can be found everywhere in Texas. Go out and get a bottle today. One last thing. Our samples from the Indian distillery from Amroot will be here shortly. We will taste them on air. I'm trying to find the right guest for that. And we will be doing the first ever Texas release available statewide. Without further ado, Zahed Devji and Stephen Brandau from The Secret Group in Houston, Texas. Cheers. Owner, founder of The Secret Group, general manager.
Yeah.
Stephen Brandau, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
I'll shake your hand. I've got some hand sanitizer over here. What's going on, buddy? I'm glad you can come on.
Man, I mean, we're open.
So yeah.
We've been open for like a month.
Sure.
You know,
well, I know you guys actually closed out for a little bit in the middle there for...
Yeah, we closed. I mean, because not everybody...
Not riots, but the...
Oh, we closed during the protests on the Tuesday that George Floyd's family was going to walk from Discovery Green to City Hall. So we closed in part because we're so close to the protest, but also we didn't want to detract from it or anything like that.
Sure. And you also, if I'm not mistaken, I think you guys were also offering water for the protesters.
Yeah. Yeah. We put a bunch of cases of water out, and myself, Zaid, and Andrew, and a number of our friends all walked on the protest as well. Didn't stick around for the tear gas, but you know.
Was there tear gas in Houston?
My understanding is there was some.
So that was the weekend that Brandon Schaub and Brian Callen were here. We were supposed to have lunch at Truth Barbecue Saturday at 2. Me and Brandon were set to go. They actually showed up early, and I left my house, tried to come into Houston from south of Houston, Clear Lake, and the roads were basically at a standstill, and we saw news reports. They were saying, don't come into Houston.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear reports of tear gas, but I assumed that it got out of hand.
Yeah. Well, I think the first few hours were good and peaceful. There were 60,000 people who showed up.
Jesus.
And, I mean, it was hot, and it was very, very crowded. Pretty much everybody's wearing masks, though, which is,
sure,
you know, good considering. And then march to City Hall, and then march back, and on the march back, that's when like there were people antagonizing some of the police officers. At one point, I saw like some people run over to where some cops were, and then police on horses come up and kind of, you know, bolster them from the back and stuff like that. And then I was like, okay, I'll go home, and then or go back to the bar. Went back to the bar, and then my fiance actually was like, hey, the news is showing this standoff at the intersection, literally out the window across the street from the bar, and there was just a line of people or whatever. But I think it wasn't until maybe an hour later that I think people who had decided they were going to stay at Discovery Green, the police declared it an unlawful protest and then started clearing them out. And that was when there was a little bit more tumult or whatever.
Tumultuous time. Yeah, it was a bit more incendiary during that time. There's a lot of angry, rightly angry people. So
for sure,
totally get it, man. I couldn't even get into Houston. So, but I'm glad you guys are open. And if that doesn't need a drink, I definitely think it. I think that's enough reason to pour something. So I know you're a bit of a whiskey guy. I know that there was a bit of, speaking of tumultuous behavior, between you and Youngblood. A guy whose name sounds like Jeffrey Epstein was trying to think of a cool vampire name. he was a little bit jealous that you got on. He got on the show. You were a little bit jealous that he got on the show first.
Well, no, I was. Well, in part because, I mean, Andrew drinks whiskey, but he doesn't. I'm the one who orders everything at the bar, so I'm the one who picks what. And granted, I also totally cheat by just looking at what's popular in the Facebook group.
Sure, so, sure. Houston Bourbon Society, yeah. Shout out.
Yeah, 100%. So,
well, I've talked about that. I think
he just drinks Jack, and that's it.
He actually opened up that interview, shooting a bottle of. I think it was 130 proof pear brandy. Like he immediately was like, I guess are we supposed to shoot this? What's happening? But I've talked about it. I think there's two. Houston used to be known for a great comedy scene, and it seems to be making a bit of a comeback.
Yeah.
There are two clubs in Houston that I know of that are worth its weight in gold, and that's the Houston Improv and, of course, in Edo, the Secret Group.
Right.
You guys have been really, I think, for quite some time, tearing it up.
Yeah, so I mean, we opened when we opened. There was the Improv, and then there was the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, and those are two.
Joke Joint's still there. The one off of 45.
Joke Joint is now closed.
It's just closed.
It closed
because of Corona.
No, pre-Corona.
Okay.
Also, Zod just called me. So
sure.
I don't know if
he's outside.
He's
well, might tell
be.
Him. Tell him to come in. You can grab him look. Quick. Don't cross the camera. There you go.
Nice.
So, professional. This is not actually whiskey. It's made from figs and honey. and turbinado sugar. This is our, and then it was finished in a, or it was aged in an Oloroso sherry
That's
barrel.
That's delicious.
So it's absolutely fantastic,
That's
right?
It's really good.
Yeah, so this is the first time we convinced Balcones to let us do a selection of their rumble casks, and they let us do it, and that is just off the charts phenomenal.
That's really good.
So it's also a bit hot too, 61% ABV, so it's gonna light you up.
Yeah, the sweetness is, covers it pretty well. I don't know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no sugar,
delicious.
No added anything. It's just like whiskey distillation is purification, so what you're tasting is just empty calories, right?
Really?
No carbs.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
I always assumed that there had to be like something to it.
No, there's an old saying, something about clear alcohols are better for you, but that's complete bullshit.
Really?
Yeah, so essentially...
you get the calories from the alcohol.
That's it.
But there's no...
No fat, no carbs, no sodium.
But
no,
the sugar. I assume that there was sugar.
No sugar. No added sugar. So it's just distillation is pure.
So all those keto bros, they can totally do this.
Yes, yeah. Keto's whiskey's keto.
Wow, this tastes, and this isn't whiskey.
It's not
though.
Technically whiskey, but it is. It's distilled whiskey, rum, anything that doesn't have added flavors to it. Distillation is purification.
Wow,
it's a great little tagline. We should put on a shirt. But yeah, that's just empty calories.
That's really good.
So it's great for weight loss.
Yeah, that's how I lose weight.
Yeah,
I just fucking get drunk.
Meal replacement. What were we talking about?
The club, though. The Secret Group. We open up to not be a traditional comedy club, but to be a more...
Would you say alt-comedy, or is that a bit of a cliche?
No, so alt-comedy specifically is like defined as alternative venues. So
it's okay. We're filming. Come on in.
Come on in, Zod.
Hey, where am I? Where
well, you're
I
sitting right here.
All right.
Good cool. seeing you, buddy.
You too.
No man. Worries. No
get
worries.
Get some hair of the dog in here.
That's got to happen. I'll also take the painkillers that blew my back out.
I heard...
Sleep.
I heard you guys.
That's what's making you sleep? I thought it was just your normal sleep schedule.
That combined with pain pills.
Oh, let's get him a microphone. Sorry. I heard that you guys tied one on last night. There's a couple of great guys in town. I guess the Matthew Broussard guy's in town.
Broussard's in town. That's who I blew my back out with. I was having coffee.
Yeah,
I was having coffee with him.
Sure.
And then my back blew out just talking.
Sure.
I'm trying making it funny at Rudyard's yesterday. No one laughed. But I was like, oh, my body's like too brittle for light conversation.
We were talking before
that's
we
exactly what happened.
Before we started. Actually, for those wanting to know, Zion is a local comedian for Houston. Dev G, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I
literally thought you were going to say dirty immigrant.
No.
Zion said dirty immigrant. I would have started
laughing. But I needed to ask this question.
Yeah.
Were you there for open mic the other night?
I don't go to our open mics
okay,
right now just because
okay.
I don't trust filthy comics.
So I was there. I know you guys did Trash Flavor Trash.
Yeah, I'm doing shows though, yeah.
A couple of rowdy folks in the crowd didn't care for some of the jokes, and it basically set a tone. And I've gone up several times.
It got racial.
It did. But it got racial. A black comic went up. And
I'm sorry about that. We usually book them.
But a black cop went up and basically said he was setting up a joke that basically said that cops are hitting white people too.
Yeah,
and the crowd was not accepting
so
this
crazy.
Premise.
So crazy that they hated.
And it. when I did 3 minutes and it was the worst 3 minutes. That's
oh,
ever.
You went
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it was horrible.
You went
so,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I've gone up a couple times and it was fine. I've loved it. It's been great.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's been stories that have to do with being a dad. You know, like 15,000 other comics, and. And I'm not a comic, but it just went so bad.
Yeah, they got weird at the end.
That was just, and I wondered when I got off stage, I was so embarrassed. I didn't look to see who watched it that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered this whole time. I was like, I wonder if I saw it. I really hope.
I literally
that.
Left as soon as that show was over because it got so strange at the end that I was like, this last part's really bothering me. Like,
yep.
I make a bunch of race jokes and you know I think they're funny and fun, but as soon as it becomes like serious,
sure.
and the crowd's just like, I don't like it because of the you're like, what?
It's a different tone.
But especially right now, out of all the time,
now's just, the time to joke about it.
And now's the time when you're offended as a white guy. It's like the fucking dumbest thing you could. That's the dumbest opinion you could have.
Sorry.
So,
It went well. For everything up to that point. I had a great time. I love going to the Secret Group. We were talking about that but right before you got here. But
yeah.
We were talking about the two places in Houston to see comedy is the Improv and, of course, the Secret Group.
Yeah.
And the secret group is something that did you answer that question? Is alt a weird thing to call?
So like traditional alt comedy just means it is about where the comedy is, which is kind of weird because you go, oh, they're an alt comic, and that literally just means that they perform at places other than clubs.
Perform,
so it would be at a bar or at a music venue or something like that. Yeah. So in that sense, we kind of are an alt comedy venue because we don't have a 2-drink minimum and tables and bar food and whatever else.
And we do other stuff. We do like music.
We do all sorts
different
of
types of nightlife.
Sure. You
know, dance nights when dancing is allowed.
Comedy's a huge part of that, but it's not like the only part.
Are you on painkillers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want a drink?
I am going to hold off right now because I don't want to throw up on your set.
Okay. Yeah.
But I have been mixing.
Sure.
And it's
you got to get the most out of your drugs. You know, come on.
So hold off for now, but I did bring a couple of things that were little pieces of history. So this is from the 1930s, and this is from 1950s. And they're not necessarily...
They actually come with painkillers in them.
Yeah. They're actually prescription painkillers. Yeah. Back then, they were all a prescription. They're not necessarily good.
Are you describing my comedy? This is literally my bio.
They're basically alt bottles. And so I figured it'd be great to taste you guys on it and to give you a piece. Because, I mean, literally, 1940s, this is World War II.
And one of these is pure gas.
Yeah. And they're also like super borderline racist. I mean, if you look at that, something about that
it actually
feels
says
like,
not for you. It's fucking weird.
This feels, it's got a very, I actually
this is
had
a single bourbon whites only.
Yeah. I actually had a rum called El Negrita, and it had a very much like that in the 1930s, the way that they would picturalize black people was very drastic, stereotypical images. And the rum, even though it's from the 1950s, feels super racist. I figured I would taste you.
You can taste the oppression and the barrel.
Yeah, 1950s. That's.
This bottle is amazing.
Covered in mold. There's mold.
It's so
on the
cool,
outside.
Man. I mean, it's amazing to think. It's for me. It's like as you get older, you're like when you were young, you're like, why is my dad in a World War II? And then you get older, and you're like, why are we not all into World War? Like you appreciate history more as you get older, and you're not sure. Like, and I look at this in my head, I was like, this bottle was like it was around during the Depression.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Real time capsules.
It's amazing.
I mean, the average rate of domestic abuse during that time period is absolute. It's 100%. So it's a real piece of history.
That's awesome, man. Can I bother you guys for another water?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like 40
more?
You can
have my bottle.
40 more waters?
So,
I'll get there. I'll get back. Thank
you. There
you
go.
I also took a...
Hair of the dog.
I literally...
this is second.
I have a Ziploc bag full of pain pills. I shouldn't be saying that.
No, it's okay. The police won't see this till later. They're not going to pull you over till next week.
Okay.
I'm actually feeling better. I slept for the first time. But I was telling you, I have a Ziploc bag of pain pills.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't even... I'm just breaking random things in half. I'm like, hope this works.
Hopefully it works.
Oh, so they're not prescribed.
They are, but the doctor
is... Yeah,
that's
not incriminating you.
They are. They're prescribed to someone.
To somebody. I got a little...
To my dog. It's weirdness.
I'm breaking them in half and like trying it out and being like, let's see how this one works. But it's...
Have you gone to see a doctor?
Nah, I don't believe in him. No, I haven't. But in this situation, I feel like, you know, I'm going to go in and they're going to go, your back is bad. That'll be $60.
Sure.
Like, I fucking knew that. Like, it's such a clear, I already know what the problem is.
Here's some Louis C.K. joke.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You know.
That Louis C.K. joke that your ankle's just bad now.
Like, thinking about that.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
All right, that'll be $120.
Yeah, they told him that he has to stretch, and he's like, when? And they're like, you just do that now. you just do that now.
How long have you been doing comedy?
I'm on my seventh year, so six years. It was 6 years in February, and I'm on my seventh year right now.
I've always been a big fan of comedy. I haven't been super involved in the local scene, but the very first time... I went to go see any comedy here besides the Improv. First time I went to the Secret Group, you guys were doing Trash Flavor Trash. I got to meet Andrew and you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know Andrew was part owner. And you guys kept calling me out for wearing plaid and being the stereotypical hipster, you know? and there's this instinct, even though I know better.
Yeah.
I know you're not supposed to respond. Don't heckle.
Yeah.
Just take it and go with the flow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in my head, I was like coming up with comebacks. Like, I should have said this. I should have said that. And Andrew, to me, at the time, I think he had a nose ring.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
I was like, oh, you look like gay Russell Crowe. Like, just like the perfect, you know. And but I that was the first night I went up on stage. But I've been back a million times since. We started talking about this before, but there are a bunch of dive bars in the city. I think Houston's sitting on something like 10,000 permanent premises.
Wow.
Bars and restaurants. The Houston area is over 10,000 basically bars, restaurants, anyone that has an alcohol license.
Mm-hmm.
And tons of dive bars. No dive bar, not that you are, but no no like secret place to go.
Google Maps says dive bar, I think.
No, no
it has like four different things, but I think it says dive bar.
Has the selection that your bar does.
In terms of alcohol?
Alcohol. That's incredible selection.
Because
of you.
Well, I'm a really easy pushover sell.
I've seen it happen.
The reps come in, they go, hey, and I go, yeah, I'll try it. And they go, well, will you buy it? And I say, I guess.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. And they're so slick because they'll booze you up. They go, you should try some of this, try some of this.
Sure.
But then you're like six shots in and you're like, all right, fuck it, give me one.
Yeah. What's the...
And I literally won't drink with you guys because I know how it goes with those reps because they're sneaky peeps, those guys.
Well, just wait until I ask you at the end of the show for something.
Oh, that's yeah. Like, oh, man. Well, hey, we're one in, so...
But they're you're one in. I'm four in, and I don't know how many pills out of that bag he's had.
I've had half of one and a couple of grapes.
You just twisted wrong? You guys were just...
I literally was doing this. I was like, anyways. And then I just went, just like a shooting pain I've never had happen.
Up your back.
Just like mid-conversation. Jeez. Went out.
You're 33?
Yeah. 33 now, yeah.
Oh, that means I'm not too far away from my own back.
Dude,
injury.
It was...
I've sneezed and broke a rib.
I've had COVID for like 14 years. It's crazy.
You had it before. It was cool.
Yep. Yeah. This body's not good. It's getting worse by age.
We could start backwards. So I'm gonna sweeten up your mouth a little bit.
Ooh, what's that?
Lube you up. You a big fan of port, sherry? You ever had them?
Probably, but I can't think as to whether or not I even liked it.
I need to get my...
This is such a better way to drink. I wish everybody... I feel like you should have a monocle and a steam engine.
This is like wine, but a little bit higher in strength, but not as strong as whiskey. So you can taste it without worrying about it, but it basically tastes like Christmas raisins.
Wow, it's what a phrase. Christmas raisins.
And you can buy, like, they have some that are, like, from the early 1900s, late 1800s for about $1,000.
I feel like I want to cook with this.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. So
I probably should.
I'd, like, want to eat a cake that's, like, made of this. Is that a weird thing to say? Why did I say that?
No, it's not a weird thing to say. So
don't you want, like a chocolate cake?
Chocolate cake or Christmas, like a fruit cake.
You could reduce this and drizzle it over something.
Oh, yeah. Like a balsamic vinegar drizzle.
Yeah,
this is fantastic. And
that's really good.
Smells really good.
Not even that old. 2007.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, this is way too easy to drink.
Yeah, you can really put that back.
That's great. Holy shithole.
You don't have to necessarily chug it. Can I get one of those Kleenexes?
Oh, yeah, that's like...
But I don't know why. Super easy to drink.
Immediately.
Is this easy to find?
So you can. There's a few places in Houston. You guys have Class B with Specs, right?
Probably.
You order from Specs?
I order everything from Specs, yeah.
Specs has some vintage ports that you can get. And really, as long as it's got some age on it, don't just buy it because it says port.
Okay.
There's a lot of bad port out there. But if it's got a vintage statement on that, like 2000, I've got some 2000, 2005, I got a bottle of 1977, so it's like 40-something years old.
Yeah.
Unbelievably fantastic. And cheap. It was like $100.
Nice.
Yeah, for $100 for a 45-year-old bottle of port is just insane.
Is there any profit there? Why are they doing that?
I'll tell you what it is. It's not that expensive to make 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And
not
a lot of people are buying it.
So a lot of people are buying
it. It's a fantastic spirit that a lot of people don't know about.
Gotcha.
What's popular right now? White Claw?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody's buying. No 20-year-old buying vintage port. What's popular right now? Police brutality?
Systematic. I try to be like that.
Systematic oppression.
Okay.
So, all right. So that's the port. This is back in the day. They used to make basically booze out of anything. This is made out of chamomile.
No way. You can make booze out of chamomile?
It's from Italy.
Holy
it's
shit.
A, got a little floating
it's an elixir. Yeah, that's the cork that broke before. This is the replacement cork. Remember, I've got back.
That bottle's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like a thick glass.
1940s. So this was we were 48 states, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. 48 states.
Yeah, yeah.
And here, let me go ahead and talk.
Are we not supposed to be cursing on this thing?
You can curse. They'll clean it up for radio.
All right.
And I'm going to give you a smaller pour because this is really interesting. And interesting, it does not mean good.
Oh, that's I like how you described that. Interesting does not mean good.
Interesting is interesting.
I wish you could tell people that. I wish you could tell comedians
like
that.
Like effervescent.
Yeah, how was my stand-up? Oh. It's interesting.
Interesting really does not mean good is such a good quote.
This was medicinal. Right.
Really?
This was medicinal.
Yeah.
This is
smells like it.
Something really.
Oh my god! It smells like someone liquefied an old shirt. Oh,
it smells like mothballs.
Maybe. Yeah, it has an old
it smells closet. Like minty to me. I don't.
Yeah, it's got some mint to it. So a little bit of that chamomile. It smells like old tea. Like if you had some tea, some chamomile tea.
All right.
I don't think it's that bad.
Do I?
Don't chug it. Keep it in the mouth. Don't shoot it straight back. Tons of syrup, tons of sugar.
That tastes like
a lot of sugar.
Tons of sweetness.
A lot of honey.
Yeah.
There's
some honey in there.
Honey?
Mm. Yeah, there's some honey in there.
I don't think it's that bad.
This literally.
It's not horrible, but it's interesting.
You know how bouillon cubes, like for chicken stock, are like condensed chicken stock? This tastes like that, but for tea.
Yeah.
Like if you took like a cup of tea.
Put a little bit of that in.
That is a fantastic explanation.
You know?
It tastes like
it's good, actually.
Reduction of a glass of chamomile tea.
It tastes better than it smells.
Yeah.
But I think because for me, it smells like an old person. But that's what you think of when you think of tea.
It's just, yeah.
It's what you're into.
What you're into.
You're single?
Yeah. And I live with my parents, so, you know.
How long is that?
Great.
How's that working in the comedy world? I plan on talking to Mark Norman about that a little bit this Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So he is, and if you're available, I'd love for you to come on. So it'll be you and Mark on the show.
Yeah, I got nothing on my calendar for weeks.
Yeah, except some another back injury. Yeah. But he's talked about that, the acclimation of the night lifestyle.
Yeah.
In relationships. Have you experienced that at all?
I am kind of in this like sort of the way that I kind of tell people is like it's hard because comedy is the thing that you're pursuing right now, or you know, like for myself, it's like the thing I'm all in on.
You're building,
yeah. And that means that right now, like you know, I am still at home and stuff, and those, but it's one of those things where I just don't feel like there's room for. I don't personally feel like there's room for anything else, so I don't want to get in a relationship because I think in the past.
Oh, so you avoid it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody wants to date him.
Sure. Nobody.
That's a good way to put it.
He's a lot of words.
I am a comedy incel. But there's been times where, you know, a couple of girls have been like, you know, would you? And I'm like, no, it's never going to happen.
Where did you meet them? Within the club or outside the club? I feel like there's more
within,
of a risk.
Within,
yeah. I feel like there's more of a risk outside the club. Like if they're not involved in your life at all.
Totally.
Then they're not going to get it at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if they are, if you meet them within the club, they're probably not the type you want to date anyways.
It was funny. I was telling this to one of our friends yesterday, but my mom like impressed me because she goes, whatever happened to that girl? Like she was asking about this girl. She goes, you know, you got to get married sooner. Like, and I was like, yeah. And she goes, and then she stopped and she was like, don't actually do that. You're on the path to comedy and you have to stay on that.
She checked herself.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yo, what the
hell? How progressive.
Yeah, this self-awareness kicked in where she was like, what you're doing is great and it's going to take some more time and you really got to stick to it. And I was like, all right, lady, good thoughts.
Yeah. Like, can I borrow some money? Yeah. That's the time to slip it in.
Yeah, I'm impressed with this guy. He's had a girl for 3 years now.
Have you done this stand-up?
Four. Holy crap.
Yeah, we've been together for 4 years. Yeah.
How long has the secret group been there?
Four years.
No, it'd be four in July.
It'll be four.
October.
October will have been open 4 years. Yeah, she met me when I was living in the Comedy Flop House over on Commerce. That was disgusting and had bed bugs. And it's amazing that she
stuck around.
Yeah. Yeah,
dude, that I don't know if you. Of course, it's
a disgusting shithole of a place. That I lived there with it was like $1,000 a month.
It was so bad.
$1,000 a month, and it's like a what do you call it, a loft? There's a back room. My room had no windows.
They literally had a guy on the couch.
We had two couch guys. So it was $1,000 a month, and there were like kind of three rooms. There was like
split
a loft.
Split
between everybody. So it was cheap to start off.
Thing I've ever seen.
When it was three of us. Yeah. But then we got two couch guys, so then there are five men.
Remember in Half Baked how Stephen Wright is like the guy on the couch?
Sure.
They had two of those.
We had two couch guys.
There was the front
couch guy, and then the other couch guy. And then my room is in the way back, and then there's a guy above me, and then there's a guy in the loft space, and we had one bathroom, and it was really fucking gross.
These are adults.
Really fucking gross.
I get made fun of for living with my parents.
I'm 32, so at the time I guess I was fucking 28, 20. I probably lived there from 25 to 28.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was gross. It was really gross. But I lived in China before that, so I was used to like a low.
Hell yeah, let's get racist. Fuck yeah. Hell
yeah. Who's about to say?
I don't know, man. The places over there sometimes are not
a lot of
clean.
Pandemics in your apartment? What?
Justin is a... What's funny is that like people rotated after. Like Scotty came in.
Scotty, yeah.
Very funny comedian. And you know, I'm not sure if you've seen Scotty
Peterson. I think Tony still... Does Pedro... Pedro lives on... He did live there.
Yeah.
But now he lives on the other
side.
Our buddy
Scotty has this food truck called That's It Barbecue. Find him.
Shout out.
Yeah. Sometimes offers food. He was gonna do some food like last weekend, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna buy it. You said you were gonna have it on Uber Eats, and he's like, you know, I had this corporate thing, so I'm just like,
you know what's funny is you were at Trash last week. He was supposed to be on the 8 p.m. show. And he messaged me at 3 p.m. and he goes, two things you shouldn't do, just let you know, is don't cook barbecue in 90 degree heat for some guy that wants you to mail it to San Antonio. The other thing you shouldn't do is don't take two hits of acid you found in an old drawer. And I was like, you're doing both of those things right now.
Did he come to the show?
No, that's the thing. Yeah. And so like he was on the 8 p.m. show and he's supposed to be there. And of course, we're all like, where's Scotty? And we're like, well, you know, it's whatever. It doesn't matter.
You can't count on
it. The show is already like too long.
Sure.
And I get a message. I get a message from him going, when's my set on Trash? And it's like, that's at 10:30 and you're not on that show. And he goes, well, I could be there. And I'm like, if you come, I'll throw you up. When are you going to be here? And he goes, well, I can't let you know that. He literally was like, I can't give you a confirm on when I'll be. He showed up at midnight.
At least he confirmed that he can't give you a.
He showed up at midnight with brisket. And, he's like, and he goes, happy birthday, big dog. Did I miss the show? And I was like, yes.
Whatever happened to the vegan guy? The guy that was cooking vegan
turns out
burgers?
He was a creep.
He's also super annoying.
It was really annoying.
It was really odd, but the vegan black bean burger thing is like not too bad, you know?
Yeah, no, they were good burgers, and he was selling them for really cheap.
You know why he was selling them for really cheap? And this is what should have told us that he was a creep.
They're made from babies.
There's no animals in them.
he goes, no, I'm selling them for this cheap because I want to spread the message of veganism, which, like, when your intention is that good, I'm like, something's up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I want you to be a vegan who's also capitalistic.
Sure.
I need balance, sure. You know? Like, make me healthier, but be kind of shitty.
But be also a human.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not a human, that's like when someone's like, I don't drink. Religious reasons? No, I just don't drink. Oh, you're a horrible person.
Horrible
person. I don't want anything to do with
you. Have a reason.
Yeah.
Have a reason.
So what happened? He just went away?
I think he creeped out some girls.
He creeped out some girls after...
I can't remember the specifics.
Yeah. It was one of those things where like... Here's the thing with secret group, and like it's a new thing for me, and obviously for all of the team. But like, people, especially like when you're a comic and stuff, and it's a comics run bar and a comics run venue, is that it's not one of those things where it's like you don't know who owns it, who you can talk to. So a lot of times when shitty things happen at the club,
they
whatever,
come directly
the,
to you
directly,
guys.
And we're
sure.
I feel like a lot of the times we are like ankle deep in someone's mess.
Sure.
And I'm not saying like I'm not like knocking them, like they should do that.
Sure.
That is the response, but it's like it's a new thing for us to be like.
It's also
we're always
we have to do something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and that's
it's
a brand
it's
new.
It's also difficult because whereas other businesses, like, oh, you're a bar or whatever, but we're not just a bar. We're like a community of comics.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I have to police this community of comics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just like a bar owner.
You're obligated.
Why would a bar owner be concerned with, you know, something shitty somebody did to somebody else? Like,
just tell them to leave and move on.
Like, yeah, whatever. But it's like, oh, no. Hey, wait. But like, I didn't mean it that way. It was interpreted wrong. Can I still perform at your mics? And it's like,
I don't know. You gotta make that call.
Yeah.
We live in a gray, very gray space.
We had a recent issue within HBS where we had I hate everyone's joking about how bad the Zoom comedy era has been because of Corona.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a Zoom drink night, and
that's kind of nice.
When you're in a bar, mm-hmm. you somewhat have to mitigate how much you drink and behave. When you're at your home in front of a camera, absolutely blasted.
Yeah.
We had a guy that made a comment that was
oof.
Technically,
what did he say? What's his full name? What's his address?
Technically,
how do we find him and make sure he never works ever again?
Let's ruin
in
the guy.
Any
yeah.
career?
Yeah, technically,
of all time.
It's sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to like fully look at it. And, like, what do we do here? What's the assessment? How long has this guy been involved? Are you weighing like?
Can you sexually harass someone remotely? Like, I'm
sure.
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, that was the thing that I always wanted to be sexual harassment.
Find out tonight.
Sexual harassment is like something in a workplace.
Sure,
yeah, but but if it's not a workplace, then it's illegal
in social environment. Now,
what if his whole defense is like, I virtually harassed her?
Yeah,
and you're like, that's still what. Well, that's his defense.
Sexual harassment is defined, and within a social environment, you have to be careful what you allow. I mean, even within the club, you have to be careful with what's allowed, because then it's going to come in your lap.
Well, so sure.
We had to like evaluate.
Coming in your lap is actually how I got my last sexual harassment.
I just not okay.
I think
we'll edit that out for radio.
No, don't edit that
for radio. That'll be out. Podcast, it'll stay. Okay, podcast, okay. It'll stay. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this on the radio, go check out
iTunes.
The podcast. You just missed a good one.
It's good stuff.
The radio is just a bunch of hard cuts of skipping. Like, you never hear the punchline of any setup or anything.
Oh.
Oh God. Yeah. So no, I get it. I mean, I last year. Mm-hmm. Probably earlier this year, I had heard some things that were happening in the community, and I felt for you guys, because as someone who loves comedy so much that you're willing to invest your livelihood into creating a safe environment, and dude, I'm giving you credit here. Over the past year, the amount of surprise, incredible things that have happened, I mean, between Chappelle just showing up randomly over and over again, I mean, Houston has just seen this like great, well-deserved opportunity of credit when it comes to the scene. And you guys are just like, yeah, I'd love to start a comedy club, not knowing that you'd be obligated or inclined to like make actual judgment calls of like, should we deal with this?
Yeah.
Should we deal with that? How do we deal with this?
That is a new thing.
It's a new thing. So I give you my hats off to you. Can't be hard.
And, back
and
in the,
to maintain
back in
a
day,
relationship.
Back in the day, they didn't give a shit about that. All the comedians were men. And
and this was your prescription.
As it should be.
Be like, did you see that Rick harassed another woman? Well, she's not a comic. So.
Classic. Anyways.
That was his punchline, actually. It was just
I went back and, look, I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with folks over the fact that comedy is an art form that takes practice, right? When mm-hmm. you first start drawing faces, you're not as good as you are 10 years into drawing faces.
Totally.
Same thing is with comedy. People tell me that this comedian's not that great of a comedian. There's been some people who've shit not, I won't say any particular names, but they've been
say the names.
Guest on the show. It's a progress, right?
Yeah,
it's a progress. So,
damn, I got to look at this fucking guest role.
we've had quite a
like,
few.
Come on, who is it?
But in 2014,
uh-huh.
Mark Norman's first special was called Still Got It, as if he had already released things before and he still got it. But no, that was his first special. He was 30 years old. It is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
It is really, really good. And I think that's the joke. I think that joke is on that first album.
Yeah.
He basically tells a joke that we weren't recording when it happened, mm-hmm. but Hair of the Dog is the problem, but also the solution. Mm-hmm. I wish more things were that way. get a girl pregnant, have sex again, not pregnant anymore. Like, mm-hmm. Mark Normand is legitimately
so funny. Such a funny
so
idea.
So freaking good. Yeah. I'm excited that you're opening for him. We're going to be there Saturday.
Hell yeah. I get scared because I get compared to him a lot, and it always bothers me.
Why does it bother you?
Because for me, I was telling this to somebody last night, but I always do like a lot of George from Seinfeld.
Sure.
Which is like, ah!
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
There'll be times where like, great Norman. I was like, no, not at all.
Right.
Not what's happening.
Norman's a bit, and he's been compared a bit Seinfeldy, right? The way his delivery is kind of that. And the thing is, I think that's his actual.
That's his actual
personality.
I'm telling you, we were in Hawaii during the for this festival in February. Me, Andrew Youngblood is hosting on the Friday. So all three of us were in Hawaii for like a couple of days, and we went out to Pearl Harbor.
And nice.
Never heard of it.
Funniest part of Hawaii.
that's the tagline for Pearl Harbor. It's like 9/11. Never forget Pearl Harbor. Never heard of it.
What was that?
But he is legitimately made us laugh so much throughout it. He does this weird thing where he makes cat noises randomly.
He'll
go like, rare. It's just like, it sounds like a cat.
Well, he says queef a lot, too. I haven't quite figured that out. I'm waiting for it to find out where
funny.
It is in the special because
he throws it. Yeah, he's not putting it on, man.
It's his personality.
He is like that. And it's I do like that with comedy. I've been thinking about it a lot. But I think when people are honestly themselves,
sure,
I think that's like, that's the goal. That's like, that's the hard thing that you
to find your stride within your own personality.
Yeah, find you. You know,
yeah, I mean, Joey Diaz is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. That is who he is.
Do you know it's a stage name, Joey Diaz?
No.
Yeah, his real name is Joseph Diaz.
No one
likes when I do that joke. I won't stop doing it.
Yeah, that's a great misdirect. A great misdirect that requires another drink. So,
ooh.
Have you guys ever do scotch?
I do.
So this is not...
I don't know the difference on any of this stuff. I got to tell you, like, I'm like, booze, cool.
Yeah, he's a results-oriented.
Sure.
Yeah. So this is...
is that a stage name? Results-oriented.
Well, you can't say Orient anymore.
Yeah. Definitely can't. Don't get canceled.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You went to China once.
You got me.
I'm giving you a touch here. This is Amroot. So Amroot is actually Indian whiskey, but it's made and tastes
gross.
A lot like scotch. Mm. Arguably... They are a sponsor of the show, but arguably...
Oh, really?
Arguably the best Indian single malt out there. But
I thought I was the best Indian single malt.
This is peated, so it's going to have some smokiness. If you're not a big fan of peat,
what does that
you
mean,
may not
peated?
Like it. It means it's made from barley. And
okay.
So on Islay, there's a small island off the coast of Scotland. There's basically no trees. Lumber is not something that quite easy to come around. So for hundreds of years, the way that they would keep their homes warm was by cutting into peat bogs. Now, peat bogs essentially are these landlocked areas of grass. And as the grass dies, it doesn't fully decompose before new grass sprouts up. Mm-hmm. So hundreds of years. If you were to cut into a peat bog 12 inches down, that's a... I always forget if it's 100 years or 1,000 years. Of actual decomposing matter. And when you cut it out of the ground, you lay it out to dry to get all the moisture out, and then it creates a log of dirt that is extremely flammable. So for hundreds of years, they were keeping their homes warm by lighting basically dirt, flammable dirt.
Holy crap.
Whenever they would distill whiskey, they would basically cook the barley using these instead of firewood, and it creates a smoky... almost a barbecue smelling
cool,
spirit.
Cool, yeah.
So if
so
you smell this,
so interesting.
If you smell this, you can smell almost like Band-Aids, iodine, and that's the
it has a medical smell.
Correct. That is.
You see how old I got? I had to lean into the mic like I'm 90, like an old dad that doesn't know how to use a phone.
Some popular brands. Now there's a whole section of whiskey drinkers who are obsessed with this. I'm one of these people. Peat heads.
They're called peat heads?
Peat heads, yeah. Laphroaig, Laphroaig, Ardbeg. There's a bunch of single malt scotch producers who readily smoke their barley that create this. And it may sound odd. It may seem unappealing to many.
God. No. Holy crap.
My fiance hates it.
Yeah, once you
I like it.
Once you acclimate to it, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
My God, that was so heavy.
I like it. I like it a lot on a penicillin.
Sure.
You get a floater of this stuff.
This does feel like if you're sick, what a doctor would prescribe.
A good friend of mine, a friend of the show, Alan
Holy
Denny.
Holy crap.
Galveston Island Cigar Company talks about how it tastes like if you were to pour iodine on a hospital floor and then mop it up and then wring that into a glass.
Oh, my God. That's funny. That's really funny.
It's the most unappealing, descripting whiskey, but also the most once you acquire a taste for it.
I was gonna say acquire, and I think of that, our friend Zach Dixon used to have this great joke about grapefruit, the acquired taste, which is just like just admit that it's shitty, just you know, but you're like no, it's an acquired. It's like, no, you have it's shitty and you like it.
I kind of think all alcohol is ultimately
an acquired taste.
No one wants to drink. Yeah, it's just like
alcohol.
The first time you try it as a kid, you're like, "This is disgusting."
As a kid, or when I was an illegal adult, high school, I hated doing beer chugs, but you do enough of them, you're like,
"Oh yeah, I get what."
The thing is, I think you associate it with the positive effects from it, and I mean,
totally.
Spicy food is an acquired taste, but it's
sure.
that Ooh. It's that every. Every that's kind of what makes people, whereas an animal will try something and just stay away from it. We have the conscious power of will to actually keep trying something.
Insist.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's,
and
yeah,
we'll,
fair.
We'll
that's
figure
fair.
Out
fair.
How to like it. We rewire our brains through conditioning.
You're just describing marriage.
No animal would get married.
I like this. I'm happy I'm doing this.
Sure,
this
sure.
is a good decision.
Then
definitely
why are you
not
why are there tears coming out of your face? Your face is smiling. But
marriage,
you
the
crying.
Ultimate acquired taste. My wife is great. She loves me. This is a good home. Don't resent her and the kids for ruining my life. I'm happy I did these things. And then you drink this shit.
We were talking about how Zod's not in relationships earlier.
Yeah.
This is,
What's the longest? You've been in it 7 years. What's the longest relationship you've had in that 7 years?
6 months.
6 months? That's pretty good.
6 months in high school.
Yeah. Before comedy.
I was also in high school. I always have to say that.
Oh.
That. She's not, you know. But.
Mark Norman told that joke recently on an interview. He said, he goes, how are we judging Jimmy Fallon for what he did 20 years ago? 20 years ago, I was banging 16-year-olds. I was also 16. But...
That's so funny.
God, you really do remind me of Mark Norman.
I'm telling you, I get it all the time.
Have you met him before?
Yeah. He was actually one of the first people I ever featured for at the now defunct Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. And defensive driving and old shithole.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about before you got here, is I didn't know that place went out of business, but I knew that towards the end they were leaning heavily on the defensive driving portion of that.
Yeah. Like that was, as every good comedy club should.
It was in a great spot. I don't know why it used to be.
I will say, like, to it's a couple things I did, like, on a real note, was first of all, that place, back when Danny Martinez owned it, from what I hear from older comics, veteran comics, was what they called a dojo. Danny Martinez was apparently very good at honing new talent, and that place was the home of people like Mo Amir, who has a Netflix special right now, who is Danny Martinez's daughter is his wife, and he spent a lot of time like that place was once very
well
notable
known.
For
yeah.
for bringing up and giving a home.
Isn't
to
that crazy
comedians.
How that happens?
Yeah,
there's a few,
and the previous owner after Daniel, like the one that Ken, it did go down. That sucks. You know, they did give me some of my first feature spots. I think our relationship went a little bit sour near the end, but I don't ever wish, you know, that
a club to go under.
Yeah, man, it's
especially,
you know,
you're talking
like
about the
it might not have worked
city.
For me so much near the end, and there's a lot of things I do wish that they did correctly, and we would try to I feel like push in that right direction, but you can't. Bring a horse to water or whatever, you know, that'll
sure.
But it's one of those things that's like, I don't actually wish that. I do have problems with stuff. I'm a comic, I'm gonna make fun of it. But I don't want anybody to
sure.
you know, lose their business
yeah.
or go.
And like you're getting at fourth largest city, I mean there's plenty of room in the city for
great
comedy places.
Scenes, yeah.
Dallas has like 7 clubs. At the height of the like late 80s comedy heyday in Houston, there was something like 17 clubs, I think. So I mean the idea that there were 2 classic comedy clubs when we opened. So then I mean we're not exactly a comedy club, but as a comedy first venue,
you wouldn't say
so
that. You wouldn't say you were a comedy club.
I mean, again, we're also listed as dive bar on Google Maps.
Well, here's,
it's
when
like
you think of comedy club, I think what you think of is usually a seated table seating type thing, where there's a 2-drink minimum. There's probably food.
Sure.
Just if you're talking about, when you think about the phrase comedy club, there are certain connotations to it, and you think about, yeah, like a table, and you can get food, and there's 2 drinks required. We just don't meet any of those things. Yeah. So I would say we're a comedy venue.
Yeah. Also, I think there's
or a live venue.
The way that shows are run are typically formulaic in a way that we don't match that formula. Totally. We have a lot of shows where it's 8 comics doing 10 minutes, and
we're a lot more like
a club. It's like you're going to see that headliner. Sure. Yeah. Feature. There's Showcase a host, style. And that's it. And that's more of a traditional comedy club. We still have shows like that, but
we have
everything.
Yeah.
And we don't, again, you know, we have music, but we also have burlesque shows, and we have freak shows.
There's a lot of different, like, if it's something that's interesting, we probably have it in terms of like a live nightlife type of
Stevie scenario. Blue Eyes guy I messaged you about. Did you look him up?
Yeah, I did briefly. Yeah.
So it's funny. So Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen, they came on, and then afterwards we went and had dinner at B&B Butchers. Great, great joint for steaks.
Nice.
And this guy shows up, shorter guy, really cut, muscular guy, mm-hmm. says his name is Stevie. I didn't know he was a comic. I didn't know he did porn. And so we have a totally nice dinner, totally great conversation. Mm-hmm. He couldn't have been a more normal. Nothing would have indicated anything.
That he's that guy.
Yeah. And they did an interview on The Fighter and the Kid, and he was there with Mike Catherwood, and they were talking about how he was in Vegas, started dating this girl, Nicole Aniston, who's a porn
I know
star.
Her. Yeah, yeah. I've come to her. She's hot.
You mean you saw her? You saw her live? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You might have seen Stevie Blue Eyes.
I know. Yeah. I don't know a lot of porn stars, but I know Nicole Aniston.
She started
I'm proud
dating,
of myself.
She started dating Stevie.
For comedy. Jesus. I'm proud of myself. I'm like, hey, I jerked off.
She started dating Stevie, and they got into it together, and they're making this crazy amount of money on OnlyFans, and I didn't know any of that, so I just had a totally pleasant dinner with this guy, shook his hand.
I
talked to him after, and we got on the subject of the secret group, and we talked about it for half the dinner. And then later, he started following me on Instagram. He reached out to me. He's like, "Hey, what was that club again?" And I was like, "He does stand up comedy. He's a stand up comic who also does porn exclusively with his girlfriend."
Is he a hot guy?
I mean,
attractive person?
He's an attractive guy.
Or is it like Ron Jeremy? You know, like
if you've
like,
seen something that Nicole Aniston's been in the last year, you've seen Stevie Blue Eyes' joke.
Oh, now I want to meet them. Yeah.
So he's been touring with Brian Callen and
he's touring with them.
Yeah, touring with them. Brian Callen, Brendan Schaub, and this guy Malik Bazil. Uh-huh. Anyways.
Scott, you got to have a bunch of stories if you're a porn star and a comedian.
Yeah,
I mean,
Stevie Blue Eyes, man. He couldn't have been a nicer guy. You would never guess he does porn. And then I was like, all right, I got to like at least see what – I've seen his stand-up. I might as well see what his other money
works. Checked out
so
his tape.
I'll just take a look real quick.
That's really funny.
I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
I just imagine him watching comedy and jerking off of the comedy tape.
Like the opposite of the – Yeah, so I told him, and he said, he goes, I really want to come check out. Next time I'm in town, I want to come check out the secret group. I said, dude, you should. And he was great, man. He was great. And his stand-up comedy doesn't address what the other job.
No way.
Yeah,
there's
no
porn.
You think he would discuss it. I had no clue. My buddy Charles Justice was like, hey, that's Stevie.
I love Charles.
Charles was like, that's Stevie Blue Eyes. He does porn. I was like, no, he doesn't. And he was like, yeah, he does. And so I'm sitting there, I have another margarita, and I'm looking up.
The fact he doesn't address it is you're telling me you're moonlighting?
He doesn't address it and kills. He killed. He did so good at the Houston Improv.
That's amazing.
And to me, I just found him to be incredibly fascinating. We bonded as humans, not knowing, not being caught up on this thing that he does.
Yeah.
And then his stand-up didn't address it. He's great.
That's awesome.
I reached out to you and Andrew. You guys got to check out the Stevie Blue Eyes guy.
You look like you're wearing makeup. I don't know.
We're running out of time, so let's.
Again,
my skin is just glowing.
All right, last pour is this 1930s cherry brandy covered in mold.
That is
so
such a cool
luckily,
bottle.
Luckily, the inside of the bottle is not covered.
Not
in mold.
Covered in mold.
The cork is in there endlessly. So dude. This is cherry brandy made from cherries.
Holy crap.
syrupy as well.
It does look so cool. Like,
I'm gonna taint my glass here.
It feels like something that would be like, if you ever like done theater and like done like an old play, it feels like a prop.
Yeah,
that would be like on
an old saloon or
I don't even believe it's real.
And this is why you keep backup corks, because anything older, uh-huh, especially like old bourbon, because the alcohol content was so high, it would eat away at these corks. So always save your corks and put them in a fishbowl or something, because you'll find a use for them. But this is, I picked this up at auction overseas.
Oh, shit.
In Italy? It was in Italy.
You picked it up at auction? You go to auctions?
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
How much did you pay for this?
It was part of a lot.
Oh, my God.
And I don't want to say how much I paid for that lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you off air.
I mean.
Oh, I want to know.
I just want to know.
As soon as you said you can't tell me, now I want to know.
It's relatively more affordable than you think, than like some old bourbons go for thousands of dollars. Uh-huh. It wasn't thousands of dollars, but it was.
It was up there.
Hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of thousands.
If it was yen, it would be tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, that's delicious.
Yeah.
I wish I had that soundbite. Oh, that's delicious.
It'd be like a text message notification.
It's tart.
It's tart.
It tastes like cherry.
It's syrupy. It's delicious. It's fantastic.
I'm not going to lie. I don't like the way it smells.
I picked up I picked up a couple at auction, and we poured one at the social. We poured a whole.
Oh, that is good.
You can chugging them down.
Shit, I don't. Yeah,
it's okay.
I don't know how to drink.
You
like,
can chug. No judgment.
Sorry, I know.
He just has to mark every time.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. I don't do tastings a lot, so
it's okay.
My natural reaction with alcohol is to
knock it back. That's part of something I'm trying to instill in my daughters.
I'm forgetting.
We have so many bottles at the house. I want my kids to understand that the one evil in drinking, I condone drinking. I love it. Mm-hmm. The one evil in drinking is shots. It's something that
if I were to open a bar,
some bars will ban vodkas. Like, they want to be more respectable and have good whiskey or good gin or good. Because vodka, basically, up until recently, according to the TTB, vodka was defined as something that was tasteless and odorless. And vodka would basically, when you distill whiskey,
mm-hmm,
you stop at a certain point, so it still has tons of flavor.
Yeah.
With vodka, you burn the shit out of it until it tastes like nothing.
Yeah.
Rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
So vodka, in its fundamental core, is garbage. It's just to get you drunk. And if I were to open a bar, I wouldn't ban vodka. I'd ban shots. Shots, I think, are just so,
that's the whole, yeah,
so
you're,
reckless.
You're not enjoying
so
the alcohol.
Reckless.
You're
drinking to get drunk.
Yeah.
Do you eat your food real slowly?
No, I drink. I ate food quite fastly. Yeah,
that'd be.
But there's a middle ground. You can drink pretty fast. I'd be okay with people chugging a beer before I would be taking three shots of something called sex on the butthole or whatever the.
I mean, I don't know. We make some pretty good shots. Here, man.
You know what? I'll tell you to find the middle ground, which is I don't. I'm starting to learn that the pure alcohol shots. Easy way to ruin your night. But the mixed shots, where they're like flavored.
Those are actually kind of weaker. That's a little
differently. Yeah,
but
yeah,
also, they're enjoyable. Like, it took me a while. Like, you know, like when you're young, like, you're told, like, you know, don't get like. There's this whole thing about like not enjoying like fruity drinks or whatever.
A lot of sugar, yeah.
We have a shot, and it's an orange cream. It's got Bailey's and orange juice.
Oh, that's good.
So you shake it, and then you're supposed to shoot it. If it was a drink, you would see it curdle over the 5 minutes that it took for you to drink.
It separates,
so you're like,
yeah.
But I mean, so that's.
But some of the mixed shots,
I do enjoy.
Kinda,
and I mean, it coats your mouth. Whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. But
well,
yeah,
I think I was there last Tuesday. I think there was had a couple of shots that actually sounded pretty good. There's a peanut butter one, I think.
Yeah. That's just a. It's a peanut butter whiskey.
I tried it for the first time in Chicago.
Screwball's garbage.
You don't like it?
I hate it.
It's not Screwball. It's a.
Tastes like George Costanza.
I don't know. The one that it is, this one, it actually tastes more caramelly than peanut buttery. Mm. I can't remember the name of it, but it's that and then like a drop of grape pucker.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I tried it for the first time in Chicago, and I loved it too much.
Sure.
Like,
where? Screwball.
Yeah, it's Ryan McGee said this joke about edibles, forgetting that. Like when they make edibles into desserts, like Rice Krispie treats, you forget that they're still drugs. Like, you're just enjoying it as a dessert, but you forget. That's how I felt with the shots, where I was like, oh, this is great. I kept taking them, but I was like, oh, this is alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting that
you're going to be shit-faced in 20
minutes. I took six of those six of those peanut butter.
God. Well, speaking of traveling, you got some upcoming dates? Anything you want to promote?
Just improv this weekend with Mark Normand. This has actually been my first weekend back of full comedy, and everything else is sort of tentative right now. I mean, I have some stuff that's like, I just don't know the details of it.
Sure.
I think all comics
should bring a bad idea back.
I want to do that. I have a show called Bad Idea, which is on the patio of the club.
It's a great name, by the way.
Thanks.
You can use that for a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. We usually have free pizza on the show. Pay What You Can. It has like comics from usually all over Texas and the country. And it's third Friday of the month. And you know what? I think we'll probably bring it back in July.
Yeah, I hope so.
We've been trying to follow social distancing and regulations as best as we can.
But I mean, honestly, the comedy shows at the club have been pretty well attended, even during the week.
Yeah, and pretty spaced apart. I was just there, and nobody was within a few feet of each other.
Yeah, which, you know, and because we're supposed to serve people at the tables, according to Greg Abbott, so we actually have our bartenders.
Governor Hot Wheels, yeah.
Governor Hot Wheels. Yeah.
But yeah, so we serve them at the table, and it, you know, people enjoy that. And I think we'll probably keep that even after everything's lifted, because as long as we can serve people while they're watching the show, they certainly enjoy not having to get up to get another drink. So,
you know what I do like about Abbott? Is that he tells us you're breathing in very heavily. I love it. It's just because someone is disabled doesn't mean they're not a dickhead. He's the first time where I'm like, dude, I get that like you're handicapped, but also I don't like you. Yeah. I don't like you for the person you are.
Sure.
Not because like...
Which is the most progressive thing to do.
Yeah.
To hate somebody for who they are.
Thank you.
True equality.
It's real equality.
Nowadays, people are so quick to dismiss, dislike for, like, there's a recent debate that's come up. The first ever female master distiller within Kentucky was this young, beautiful woman named Marianne Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
What
an old name, though.
She's a very prominent.
What are you, an old ghost? Are you haunting the distillery?
She's a prominent figure in the progressive state of female movement within the distillation in Kentucky, being what they are. But there are some people who don't care for her as a person.
Yeah.
So there's been this ongoing debate of, is it okay to criticize someone?
Fuck yeah, it is.
For who she is, despite of who she is.
Yes.
Right.
Totally.
So it's not a slight on females being involved within distillation. Mm-hmm. It's a judgment of an individual person, and the instinct, the critical thinking mind, would say yes, you should be able to judge her and give her critical feedback and not like her as a person.
Yeah.
Without it being about feminism or anti-female.
Yeah.
And that is what I think we are mostly dealing with in today's society, is the differentiation, our instinct.
Most people are also scared to speak out because they don't want to be looked at as someone that got lumped into someone that hates feminism or racial equality or, you know, whatever the thing is. They don't want to, if they say anything, then that's a dissenting opinion.
Sure.
That they might be looked at as like, oh, you know, and it's
a chauvinist,
like,
or misogynistic,
dude, speak out, because when you're not doing that, what you're doing is you're becoming part of the problem. In my opinion, I was like, just fucking say,
you're also
have a backbone,
retarding,
say something.
Progress.
Yes,
and that's a word that we're not going to get into. But you're also
progress?
Inhibiting progress. And I'll say this, and then we can wrap it up, and we'll go. But the problem you run into, the thing that inhibits progress as a society, in my opinion, is when just because something reminds you of something offensive. Doesn't mean it's specifically that thing.
That thing, yeah.
Right. So just because
that's like hating a woman because she reminds you of your ex-wife. It's like, well, she might be a totally different person.
Right. If you
maybe I want to get married. I've brought it up like three times.
He starts crying. No, if you do not like an individual person, a face of some movement, as a person, then you should be able to say that I don't like that person.
Totally. Without,
just because it reminds you of in other times that you've criticized. Or people have criticized females as a whole, doesn't mean that that's what they're doing. Language is about intention. So
yeah, it's the one thing that's missing right now is intention and context. We're not listening to it. We're only listening to buzzwords.
Buzzwords, great one.
Yeah, and then we're
I hate the buzz.
And then we're reaming people out
you,
for
used
it.
Used to love it as a kid, you know.
Rod Ryan.
It's never changed.
But yeah,
you know?
we're a lot of people are. I feel like also like younger people. That are coming up are it's not so much politically correct. It's like you're missing the point of political. Like, you should be politically correct.
Sure.
You should want to change your language to match the times. You should want to progress and make sure that your thoughts match exactly what you're saying. You want to get that as close as possible. But if you're only looking at one side of it and you're taking out context, you're taking out intention, you missed the whole damn point of it.
You missed the whole thing. Yeah, and now we are back to where we were at the beginning. We've made no progress, and now you are you're doing more harm to the idea of progression than you are.
Because now no one wants to say anything, because what if they say it wrong?
Sure.
What if their opinion is not, you know, you want to go groupthink, and so you're scared. It's like, don't be scared. Speak. Speak.
Definitely in Saturday, huh?
What's up?
You'll come back on with Mark Norman Saturday?
Totally.
I would love, because I know he's got a lot of thoughts on this. I would love to dig deeper into this conversation.
Totally, absolutely.
And you and Mark, I think, would be a great conversation into where we are in terminology. So,
for sure.
Thanks so much for coming on, Mr. Brandow.
Thanks, bud. That was fun.
Thanks so much. And cheers, guys. Thanks.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.